Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8 o'clock hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm Diane Adams, a servant of God. Always with honor and privilege, I give to God for giving us this opportunity to fellowship one with another again, the body of Christ. I thank God for the opportunity where we have a forum where we could come together to explore the Word of God. I thank God that He gives us a time to sit at His feet to hear what the Spirit has to say. And I thank God for each and every one of you that took time out of your busy schedule to come and join us as we study the Word of God on tonight. It's Bible study time, y'all. And it is my desire that when we come together, God, through the Holy Spirit, give us a word that could help us in our walk with Christ. Help us to be kingdom builders. Help us to stay focused. Help us to have joy and have a peace that surpasses all understanding. It is my desire. Our lesson tonight is God is working in you and for you for His good pleasure. You got to get that. It is God working in you to get His good pleasure. And we come in from the book of Philippians, the second chapter. There's many things that has happened during this week. A lot of death, homelessness, fires, earthquakes, and many other things. God told us it would be days like this. And all we have to do is look to the hills from which coming our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Many things that are happening today, there's nothing we could do about it. And as we taught a week or so ago, it's not what we go through, it's who we go through it with. We must remember that nothing that is happening is taking God by surprise. And if God allows it, He don't make any mistakes. And at this time, I'm going to play a song, and it's called A Great Work. And I know that this song is well suited for our lesson tonight. So as this song plays, listen to it. The songwriter is giving us a message. And the name of the song is A Great Work.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you want to take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. I declare you will know the favor of the Lord and receive a harvest. for your feet. To bless the world that flows.
Jesus has begun
a great
work in you.
He's faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, he that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. Yourself and say, God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
God is doing a great work.
So what should be considered
work,
as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hoped for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture.
And that song is, God is doing a great work, my sisters and brothers. God is doing a great work in all of us. The work that he had established for us to do before the foundation of the world. And when he created us as his masterpiece, a work of art, each one of us created for service and work. Hallelujah. A great work God had in you. He didn't just put a work out for some people. He put it out for everybody. And your work is unique for you. He may not want you to do what I do, but whatever he gave you to do, he wants you to do it well. You may not have to go where I go, but where he sends you, he wants you to go. You may not have to give like I give, but what he wants you to give, he expects you to give it. And God has already provided the provisions for you to do the work, to give from what he has given you and the strength to accomplish whatever he wants you to do. God has established great work for all of us. And it's all by his grace, everything through Christ Jesus. And at this time, our sister Pam is going to go to God's throne of grace. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. Father God, we come tonight to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the gift of life. Thanking you, Lord Jesus, for our Bible study. Thanking you, Father God, for our teacher, our sister in Christ, Minister Diane Adams. Lord, may your words that you bring forth on tonight be words of comfort and healing to us all. And it's in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen, and thank you, God.
Thank you so much, my sister, for your faithfulness.
You're welcome.
Doing a great work to God week after week. God honors that.
Amen.
Is there anyone else on the line who would like to pray? God is giving an opportunity. Anyone who would like to pray, elaborate maybe on a song or whatever. You know, I switch it up a little bit because I was glad to. Anyone who would like to pray can do it at this time. Press the one button on your phone. Well, we're going to go ahead on with the lesson. As I said earlier, the title of the lesson is God is working in you for his good pleasure. Philippians, the fourth chapter. When you look at this title tonight, you got to realize God wants pleasure. It's sort of like God wanting glory. Glory given to God gives God pleasure. But there's a scripture talks about God's good pleasure. But I want you to know that God is such a good God. He know what he wants from you. And he gives us the instructions, the Bible. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us men and women of God. He gives us teachers and preachers and evangelists and radio station people to filtrate the word of God in us. That if we follow it, that we can give God pleasure. You know, if I talk a little bit, because they asked me to talk about characters and maybe books in the Bible, because this is Bible study. And we coming from the book of Philippians. And I want y'all to know the book of Philippians was written to Christians that lived in Philippi. You have to remember that when the church was established on the day of Pentecost, the Jews were gathered in Jerusalem. It's amazing how God always waits for them to gather, and then he'll do something spectacular. They was in Jerusalem, and in the book of Acts, he allowed the Holy Ghost to be dispersed among the people, and they got saved. Hallelujah. Now, many of those people that were living, that were in Jerusalem for this time, they lived in other places. And you see, when you be in the presence of God and touched by the Holy Spirit, you want to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many of the people, when they went back home to the place where they lived, they started a church. So the Philippians is the church that was established in Philippi. Those people that lived there went back after they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they started a church. Now, Paul is writing a book, a letter, or an epistle, you could call it, to the people, the Christians in the church of Philippi, and those Christians were called Philippians. So when you read the book of Philippians, and many of the other epistles that Paul wrote, you see, this is the one for the people living Philippi. You know, they had people that live in Galatia, and when they went back, they started a church in Galatia, and that book that Paul wrote to those Christians is called the Book of Galatians. Come on, y'all. You got to have some foundation to keep going forward. And then, you know, that's how the precept starts. So we have to look at Paul for who he is, saying the assignment that God gave to him. Paul is what you would call maybe a bishop in today's time. The churches that was established, you remember there was many of them was young, and the church might have had a zeal, but it wasn't called into knowledge. Because you see, we have to grow in God's grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't just get it right then and there. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 say we should study to show ourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You see, so the people were learning. But this church in Philippi was getting it right. This letter to the Philippians was letter what they call a joy letter. The people in Philippians, when Paul was in prison many times, and Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians while he was in prison in Rome. And while he was in prison, many of the other churches that he was affiliated had stopped their support and visiting. Y'all know how it is. When you're down and out, people have a way of forgetting. But you see, all the Philippians, they kept sending Paul support. The Philippians was a church that had it right, but he was still teaching them. And he was encouraging to hold on what is right and keep growing. Come on, y'all. So when you read the book of Philippians, know it was written by Paul. No, it was written to the church in Philippians, and understand the context of it. And that's how you study the word of God. But the book of Philippians is called a joy letter. You see, the book of Philippians lets us know that Christians should be united in humility. We are united with Christ. And we need to strive to be united to one another the same way. This is all in the book of Philippians. Paul trying to tell him how to live as a Christian. You know, some of the books in the Bible and the doctrine in the Bible is written for people to try to encourage them to accept Christ as their Savior. This letter is not so much trying to get people to accept Christ, but it's letting you know since you have accepted Christ how you should live, the book of Philippians. You see, Paul reminds us to be like-minded, be on one accord, y'all, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. That's what he's teaching in the book of Philippians. Visit it when you have time. And he's telling us to put away conceit and selfishness, and to be humility, to have humility when you consider others better than yourself, looking out for the interests of others. And you got to learn how to care for one another, y'all. God didn't create you and place you in a bubble. He didn't create you and put you in a bubble with just you and your family, are just the ones you love. Your neighbor, not meaning just the person next door to you, but mankind. And when you read the book of Philippians, I believe if the churches today would study the book of Philippians, grasp it, hold on to it, and begin to do as Paul encouraged the Philippians to do, we would have far less conflict in churches today if we just look at what Paul had to say to the church in Philippi, the Philippians Christians. Just a little background. We got to understand books, who wrote them and why. And you got to understand who they wrote them to. And it could help you to see why. And I'm not going to go into this, but many of the books, the letters that Paul had to send to the church because there was so much discourse. If you read the book of Corinthians 1 and 2, you could almost get a headache. It'll make you think you know, it's something that happened on the news last night. How horrible it was. And Paul is trying to get them to get it right. But in the book of Philippians, it's a love letter, a letter of joy. And with that being said, our topic tonight is coming out of the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter. And I'm going to start at the 12th verse. And it reads, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." And he goes on to tell him, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Paul is talking to the Philippians, y'all. He's saying, don't just do right when I'm in your presence. You know how some people get all holy when the preacher walk in? How people be holy on Sunday. He's telling you if it's you, you know, don't just act one way. He's telling them when I'm around. But work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And verse 13 says, "For it is God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasures." Paul is telling them, and he had already encouraged them how good they were doing, but he wanted them to know it's not predicated on them, but it was God that's working in them to get his pleasure. Now, God's going to give us the provisions. God's going to give us the direction. The Holy Ghost is going to lead us, but we have to commit and submit ourselves. God gives us opportunities, every opportunity to be of service for God is given by God. We in our deprived state could never come up. We could never be that good on our own. Because if we could, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit living and being and dwelled inside of us with direction. You see, we should always do the right thing when someone is looking or not. A person of good character does what's right when no one is looking. Christ has given us the gift of salvation to enter eternity once we believe. Since the scripture says we must work out our own salvation, this lets us know that there's work to do now. We know once we receive salvation, and the Bible tells us once saved, always saved, and that when we are saved by faith and grace in Jesus Christ only, they had to go through a lot of that in the Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament, when Paul started teaching, and the Jews wanted to make the Gentiles go through A, B, C, D, E, F, and G to be saved. But our salvation is predicated on Jesus Christ alone. So when this scripture say work out your salvation, some people may get the wrong impression. But we do have work to do now. You see, salvation is a process, and it has a past, a present, and a future. You see, the process of sanctification, the process of salvation is called sanctification. Salvation happened in three phases. Three phases. The past it's called positional sanctification. And you might say, why was called positional? Because it's just what the word says. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you got in position with God. You were forgiven and set apart for God's work. At that time, we received the gift of salvation. We got it when we first believe, when we first accept. And we got the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, that was positional. That was a part of our past if we've been saved. Because after we accept Christ, we move immediately. We receive all he has for us, and we move immediately to the second process. And now we in the present. We got in position. We receive all that God had for us. You had the same privileges as someone who has been walking for 50 years. Like the man on the cross when he asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said, the day you'll be with me in paradise. He got in position, y'all. And he received all of the benefits. So after you accept Christ in the sanctification process, you receive all of the benefits, you're in position, and God takes you and sets you apart. And then you go to the next position. And that position is called progressional. You might say, why is progressional? Because you're being sanctified daily on earth. And it's going to keep, you're going to keep being sanctified until Jesus come back again. So we are in the progressional sanctification process now. It's where we work out our own salvation that the scripture was talking about. Our part. We study, we pray, we're sanctifying ourselves daily by righteous living, and we're growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're loving on God and we're loving on others. Progressional. We're being prepared for the prepared place that Jesus is preparing for us. You see, this world, this earth is our preparation ground, preparational ground. We're being prepared daily. Hallelujah. I don't know if this right, but it just came to my mind. The Holy Ghost gave me, you know, the children of Israel was in bondage. In Egypt and God, glory, hallelujah, they were in bondage and God delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. But God allowed them to walk in the wilderness for 40 years. You see, God had delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. But God used that preparation time in the wilderness to get the Egypt out of them, the false gods. He was preparing them for the promised land. You see, and we go into the promised land when we die. And just as God was preparing them, God is preparing us for the promised land. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And you see, they're going to have a future sanctification, and it's called complete. And you might ask me, why is it called complete sanctification? Because it's going to begin at our death, or if we still heal, when the rapture happens. You see, at that time, God work is complete. When our spirit is united with Jesus Christ, You see, God has saved us, sanctified us, and then he's going to glorify us. Philippians 1 and 6 just encourage us that no matter what state you're in tonight, my sisters and brothers, what may be going on in your life that doesn't seem to be going the way you want it, God has begun a great work, like the songwriter said. And the scripture in Philippians 1 and 6 lets us know. It tells us, and this is right in the Paul we talked about earlier. He said, being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Didn't I say I'll never leave you, nor forsake you, and I'm your present help? It may not always be going the way you want. It may not feel the way you want. Certain things might just get next to you or take you down so far you feel like you can't get up. But the wonderful work that God is working in and through you, he's going to complete it till Jesus comes. So you might ask the question, why just until Jesus comes? Because when Jesus comes, we're going to take off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible, and the presence of sin will be gone. Ain't going to be no more need to make you pray or study. It's going to be glorified. There will be no flesh. And if there is no flesh, there is no presence of sin. Glory, hallelujah. You must know that God's salvation includes rescue, renewal, restoration for us now. There are plenty of times you might say the word salvation. All you can see is life after death. God is sanctifying and giving us salvation daily. How you think you can say he protected us from danger seen and unseen? That's with him sanctifying us, and that's with him being with us and protecting us. He's saving us from danger seen and unseen. You see, if you look up the word salvation, it means to be saved from something or some things. We're being saved daily, y'all. Not just for eternity. We are not working to be saved or to receive salvation. But because we have been given the hope of salvation, then we should want to work. It's a choice. God ain't never made nobody. If he ain't make you accept him, you know he ain't going to make you work. It's a choice. You see, we should display Christian character with fear. See, when they use that word fear, many times people say, oh, they got to be scared of God, or God, the wrath of God, or God is going to do this and God that. That word fear means reverence. The word fear here means we should give reverence, respect, honor and glory and good letters to God. You see, Proverbs 1 and 7 say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Then with fear and trembling, it goes on to say, because we do not know all that is required of us to please God once we accept him. We're growing in that grace, y'all. In the knowledge. See, they say with trembling. Because, you know, sometimes I say, God, all I want to do is please you. Teach me how to be better. You see, that's the trembling the scripture is talking about. You see, God no longer judge our sins, but our works. When God looks at us once we are saved, he only sees his son. Hallelujah. You see, trusting is a part of the work and believing that he will work it all out for your good. People quote that all the time, but do you believe it? Obedience produces faith, and faith, when it is solid, produces light. We have to take on the image of Christ, who is light. You see, faith gives us confidence to shine in the midst of a storm. Come on, y'all. Faith cancels fear. You can't walk in faith and have fear connected on your back. You're either walking in fear, you're walking in faith. Faith cancels fear. You see, so what we got to do, we just got to get out the way and let God do the work in you, in us. You see, God working in us is all by his grace through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 54:17 says it good. They say when you have the faith and you believe and you trust and have confidence, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You see, God is working in us with the aid of the Holy Spirit, equipping, leading, guiding, and saving us to do the kind of work that would please God and give him glory. But we have to cooperate, y'all, and trust by getting out of the way and let God do his work. You know how many times we get in the way of God? God don't need your help for this and that. How many times we took things in our own hand talking about we was going to help God and mess it all up? Get out of the way. We have the victory, so let us start acting like it. How many people have the gift of salvation, have God as their Savior, claim that he's his rock and his shield, and soon something happened, they collapse? We have the victory, y'all. And not predicated on what we did or what we could ever do, but it's all about what Jesus has already done. And we always have to remember we created for God's glory. You should be encouraged. You might say, why, Sister Diane? Because working out your own salvation is not so much your work, but it is God's work. God is producing in you both to will, which means giving you the desire. See, God know what he wants, and he know us. So he has to give us the desire to accept what he wants us to do that would give him the pleasure. Y'all want me to say that again? God is producing in you both to will, which means giving you the desire. The scripture said, I'm going to read the scripture again, and then I'm going to elaborate on this so we could catch it. The scripture said in 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So let me go back to that. It is God producing in you both to will, which means giving you the desire. Come on now, y'all. And to do, which means he's giving you the ability and the provisions to actually do it. So let's say it like this. It is God that's giving you the desire and the opportunity and giving you the equipment to accomplish the opportunity and the desires to him, for him to get his good pleasure. That's pretty cool, y'all. You see, before the foundation of the world, God had you in mind, and he created us for his good pleasure and glory. We could go back to Jeremiah, very familiar scripture, 29:11. God said, this not Jesus, this the Old Testament. God told Jeremiah, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. He told it to Jeremiah way back then, and it's for us today. Jeremiah had the message for the people, and we are the people of God today. You see, God knew that man could never achieve his will or give him pleasure in and of ourselves. God is telling us, this is what I want. Listen to this. This is what I want. And here is what you will need to achieve it. You can't beat that, y'all. So God asks us to do something or give us an opportunity to do something and we hold back. That's why we're living in a time of dispensation of no excuses. You can't say you couldn't because God said I gave it. You couldn't say I didn't think about it. God said I put the opportunity in your mind. The Holy Spirit was talking to you too. You got to know whatever you need, God got it. Study the word of God to know God, y'all. You see, he gave us the gift of salvation through his only begotten son that whosoever believed would not perish but have everlasting life. You see, once we accepted him, he allowed his spirit, the Holy Ghost, to indwell in us to teach us how to help ourselves. The Holy Ghost ain't just sending you out in the field for others. He tell us how to help ourselves and others. He guide us in a way that we should go and comfort us in time of trouble. He convicts us when we're doing wrong. And he seals us with the hope in Jesus Christ, which allows us or should allow us to rest and trust what God has done, is doing, and has promised to do. You see, salvation here on earth is a gift from God. And what you do with it is a gift to God for his good pleasures and glory. God didn't just give us salvation and walk away, y'all. It left us alone to deal with our struggles, trying to do his will, not understanding his will, not knowing his will. He is our present help. And he said he won't leave us, and he can't lie. He is beside us and within us to help us. Give him a chance. Get out the way and let God do his work in and through you. God, give us the desire and power to do what pleases him. The secret to a changed life is to submit to God's control, then simply get out of the way. And verse 14, and after he told us all of this, talking about Paul, which wrote this letter to the Philippians, then he tell us, now you do this, and you manage to do this, and now he's telling us in 14, this is something I need you not to do. And 14 say, do all things without mumbling, and disputing. He said, do it without complaining. Y'all know some people complain all the time. And some of the complaining is the most nonsense, especially in the church. You know, because somebody might complain because somebody had on pants. Somebody might complain because the hymn they sung was inappropriate for the beginning of the service. It should have been at the end. Mumbling and disgrumbling and disputes on minute stuff. Verse 15 says that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. He said, if you do all of these things, don't be complaining. You will shine as a light in the world, and that's important. What do you have to mumble, dispute, and complain about? Haven't God been good to you? And what he did for you before, he could do it again. And he didn't bring you this far to leave you. And he has taken you out of danger, seen and unseen, over your life. And if you look back over your life and think things over, you could truly see how blessed you've been. God has never forsaken thee or left thee. Hallelujah. What you complaining about? Remember, it is God that is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure, not your work. Trust God to move on your behalf no matter what state you're in. Faith that God will and shall work it out, and it shall be all good. We shouldn't go around acting like the unsaved, complaining about everything and everybody. It's not a good look. God lets us know that the battle is not ours, it is his. And he's able to fight for us and deliver us every time. And I have to say every time, because we're going to live in eternity. And anything that you don't believe you received on this side through prayer, every deliverance is not going to happen on this side. Every healing is not. Every crooked road is not going to be straightened. And every door that need to be closed won't be closed. And many doors in our lives we feel should open, they're not going to be open on this side. But oh, there will be a time. And that's what God wants us to say. Yes, we do have to live in this world until Jesus come back. And God say, I'm helping you. I'm giving you tools. I'm tools. I'm with you. I gave you the word. He said, because if you keep your mind stayed on me, you'll have perfect peace that surpasses understanding. I'll keep your joy full. Come on, y'all. And it always feel good, because we got to remember we are human beings in a flesh suit, and sin dwells in the flesh. So as long as we live on earth and have this flesh suit that we encased in, flesh is going to crave fleshly things, could have fleshly emotions. Flesh could have distorted reality. So there are going to be times when you feel overwhelmed or you think God is not listening. And sometimes you think he walked away. But we know that God never walk away from us, but we sometimes walk away from him. See, God is doing his part. And we should learn to be loving people and patient with ourselves and with others. And I want to tell you, don't let your light be clouded or dim by complaining and arguing. That's what happens. That's what happens. And please don't let someone else make your light go out by bringing you to places you don't want to be. You know, making you get upset. You know. Sometimes that's why you have to walk away from people. And I don't mean you don't love them. You know, you have to figure a relationship that's going to work. With that person. The Bible says we owe no man but to love him. Don't let someone else steal your joy. And that's what happened to so many people. Sometimes, you know, it's not good to you and it's not good for you. And sometimes people get confused to say they got to do this because this is what God wants. God don't tell us all of the junk in our trunk that we say God does. Speak to the Holy Spirit and let him lead and guide you. The Bible says, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. It's all right to say no. You don't have to say yes to everything. But what you could do and what God has asked you to do, God ain't going to ask you too much. He ain't going to put no big, big burden on you that you can't even accomplish. And it is to say it many times, to whom much is given, much is required. See, God know who could go the extra mile. God know who could make, I'm just being hypothetical, 10 deliveries in a week, whereas he know two is going to only do one. God knows all of this. And if God has brought many opportunities to you over and over and over again, you know, he might just hold back a little bit till you get ready. You see, will someone, when someone see you, will they see light? Do you represent God or the ruler of this world? Matthew 5:16 say, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, our good work is achieved by working out our own salvation, your own, not mine, doing what is right and what God is asking you to do as a kingdom builder that he established for your life before the foundation of the world. No more, no less. God does the choosing. Is there enough evidence in your walk where people would know whose side you're on? See, that's the thing. You could do what you want for God, and God is not going to force anybody to do anything. But I see so many times people handle God and the things of God the way they want, but they want to be known as a great, strong Christian. But the evidence is in the pudding. You could stand up and talk all day and all night long about how good you are and how much you love the Lord. But I want to let you know that the evidence is in the pudding. You could fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time. And Matthew 6:24 said, you can't serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. And I'm not trying to come down on anybody tonight. I'm only speaking the word of God. And many times I talk, and when I get through making a statement, I have to say, I got to do better. You see? And many times in church, the preachers say, if you can't say amen, say ouch. But it's not to make you or to criticize anybody. It's words to help us to become better. Stop compromising our faith. God's greatest blessing is the gift of salvation. And he gave up a lot because he gave up his son, his only begotten son. And once we realize this, we can and should be a light in a depraved generation. See, there's so much darkness in this world. Where's the light? You see, we were created to transform the world, but every day it looks like we are being conformed to the world. The world is conforming us instead of us transforming the world, which God assigned it to be our reasonable service. And that's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you can say them at this time. I would like to hear from somebody tonight. If you want to say anything, you can press the one button on your phone. If no one have anything they would like to add, you might have a comment that could help someone along the way. Don't hold back. God has given us this forum, and everybody have an opportunity. See, God say, I do my part. I give opportunity. But if no one has anything to say at this time, we could have our one moment. Caller, your number is 9063. Your mic is open.
Yeah, thank God. I had a person connected with me. She was trying to speak, but she had to press star one to get in to be heard. Did you hear me?
She's on your line?
Yeah, she was on my line.
Is she still on your line?
I didn't hear her talking, but I know y'all didn't hear.
Your phone is muted?
No, my phone.
Hello?
Yeah, there she goes.
There she goes.
Hey, Sister Diane, how you doing? This is Ariana. I was just saying that I could relate to the message, and I really enjoyed it, and I pray that God continue to bless you in many, many ways.
I receive it too, Ariana. I receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the encouragement, my baby. Thank you. We all need encouragement time to time. And since no one else has anything to say, we could have our benediction. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Benediction tonight is coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen, and good night, everybody.
Sister Pam, can you read that again? Because it ties so much into the lesson. Read that scripture again.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And that's a benediction that classifies, certifies the lesson, builds on the lesson, and a thought for us to take with us as we leave on. Because it says God equipped us with everything we need to do his good work.
Amen.
God is equipping us, you know. And I thank you for that scripture, Sister Pam. It was so appropriate, and thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And that's our lesson for tonight. If it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back next week. But until then, I pray that God bless each and every one of you real good. Love y'all. Go in peace.